Emergency unemployment benefits and senatorial jitters over an Enbridge oil pipeline running through the Straits of Mackinac. Both are issues consuming attention from Michigan senators and congressional delegation. We'll start with the fact that more than a week ago, a federal unemployment benefits program expired, leaving 1.3 million jobless Americans without emergency aid, some 45,000 of them here in Michigan. The program is the Emergency Unemployment Compensation Program, EUC for short. Here in Michigan, the program added 36 more weeks to the state's regular 20 weeks of benefits. On Capitol Hill today, Democrats are trying to pressure House Republicans to extend this program for 3 more months. Detroit Free Press Washington reporter Todd Spangler joins us now from D.C. Todd, this emergency unemployment compensation program really was never meant to become permanent. So what's the argument for yet another extension?
Well, the Democratic argument for this, and it's a strong one, is that when we've had this program in the past, it has never been terminated when unemployment remains as high as it is now. I mean, right now, we still have a pretty high national unemployment rate of more than 7%. And, you know, frankly, that's higher than it was when this program was put in place, when it was somewhere in the 5% range.
So this program has been actually extended a dozen times.
Right.
So it's just a matter of, all right, slap on another extension, hope things get better.
Exactly. Well, I mean, this has been something that has been brewing for quite some time, because since this was first put into place in 2008, just as the recession was really starting to be felt around the country and George Bush was still president, there have been continual extensions since then, as you say, a dozen of them. This would be the 13th if the Democrats were actually to push it through. And the Republican argument is that this has been extended over and over again. We are seeing a recovery, and we haven't really seen the job increase from this specific program that we would have liked.
And there's no funding mechanism for this program.
That's right. And there never has been. I mean, this has always been something that's been treated as sort of an emergency funded mechanism, sort of the way we deal with, you know, natural disasters and whatnot. And there's a reason for that, because you can't really see how much it's going to end up costing ultimately, because that's going to depend on what unemployment rates are in each one of the states. Does it get better? Does it get worse? It's all very much tied to that. But the fact is that there is no specific money set aside to pay for this. The cost is about $6 million for 3 months. And that's right now what a lot of the Republican folks are asking for. They're saying they might be willing to see this through, but the Democrats got to come up with some way to pay for it.
Now, the Democrats in the Senate were able to get a few Republicans to climb on board to pass this bill. Why did those six GOP senators do that, do you think?
Oh, I think there's a certain amount of political self-interest there, but to not even take a cynical viewpoint, some of those Republicans are said after the vote that while they voted to extend it, what they're hoping for is there can be more discussions and more negotiations to find a way to pay for it, to find that, you know, $6 billion that would actually help pay for this sort of thing. But in each of those cases, you're dealing with people who are either from somewhat moderate states or they're from states where they still have a high unemployment rate. I mean, you have, you know, Dean Heller, from a Republican from Nevada, who was a co-sponsor of this. Nevada continues to have one of the highest unemployment rates in the country.
As I see, Rob Portman of Ohio was on board as well, so we
absolutely
can kind of feel that. Now, what are we hearing from the House? We've got it. What's the outlook there? And particularly, what are you hearing from Michigan's congressional delegation?
Well, Michigan's Republican members of the congressional delegation have been largely silent on this question. I was talking to Dan Beneschek from the 1st District's office yesterday about this, mostly because a Democrat who wants to challenge him was saying, where does he stand on this? And very much like Speaker Boehner, the answer is, would like to see an extension of this if necessary, but would like to see it tied to some what they consider job creation efforts. But more than that, how are we going to pay for it? There still is that question. I think you're going to start seeing some more serious negotiations between the Republicans and the Democrats on the Hill about how could they find enough money to do something with this. And with some budget bills coming up here in the not-too-distant future, it's possible they could find some money.
Now, it's interesting, as you say, Republicans in the House from Michigan have been largely silent, and I would suspect there's no surprise that there are Democratic hopefuls that will not be silent, because this is a pretty good political club with which to whack Republicans.
It fits right in with what the Democrats' mantra is going to be in 2014, which is going to be all about Republicans are unfeeling, that they're not willing to do enough to help working-class Americans and try to ride that crest right into the midterm elections. This very much fits in that, comes into that wheelhouse, and you're going to hear a lot from Democrats if this doesn't pass going on to the future.
You know, that kicking the can down the road cliche is so played out, but isn't this exactly what this three-month extension would do? Say the House agrees and passes this extension, what would really be different 3 months from now?
That's a very good question. It would allow the Republicans at least some cover to say, okay, we gave this 3 months, here's where the economy stands now. It would also give everybody some more time to find enough money to pay for perhaps a one-year extension to do this, to see, what could be moved here, what could be cut there. There's a whole lot of pieces that could be moved to sort of, cover the cost of that, or at least part of the cost of that. But as you say, kicking the can down the road is something that Washington's gotten very good at, particularly for programs that add to the deficit that may not be paid back, right away, but are seen as something that there's enough voters out there who really want to have happen.
I'm speaking with Detroit Free Press Washington reporter Todd Spangler, and we move now from emergency unemployment benefits over to some senatorial jitters, if we will, about that Enbridge oil pipeline running through the Straits of Mackinac. You have a piece in today's Free Press about what's going on there. What is this all about?
Yeah, this sort of, as far as Congress is concerned, sort of came out of nowhere here last month that Enbridge, which you remember is the operator of the pipeline that runs through Marshall, Michigan, where there was a huge spill here 3 years ago, three and a half years ago. They also operate a line, Line 5, that runs across the UP and underneath the Straits of Mackinac and down to Port Huron. It moves light crude. It was already configured to accept a higher pressure, but they hadn't been running at a higher pressure for some time.
Okay.
Well, last year they did turn up the pressure on that. They wanted to move more light crude through there. Environmentalists were very upset about it. Last month, senators started asking some questions, serious questions, about what federal regulators had required of this company before they turned up the pressure on that. Now, yesterday's letter, the letter I wrote about today in the paper, mm-hmm. is from those federal regulators saying, hold on, we don't think there's anything to be worried about. We've required Enbridge to do a lot more testing, to take a lot more safety precautions on their whole system that goes through Michigan and around the Great Lakes, and we think it's okay. But they're also saying, in terms of some specific testing, some specific leak detection protocols and whatnot, that they're going to have to get back to the senators about what they really did to make sure those were all in order.
And the letter to the Obama administration was written by Senator Debbie Stabenow and Senator Carl Levin, but also Senator Dick Durbin of Illinois.
That's right. Well, and not surprisingly, mm-hmm. Senator Durbin is often an environmental voice that's heard where, Lake Michigan comes into play because of the concerns there in Chicago. But yes, Senator Stabenow, Senator Levin were taking the lead on this, and they do want some answers. I don't think they're saying that they want to shut this pipeline down, but when you start talking about, a company that did have the worst inland oil spill in U.S. history, and you're talking about pipelines that run in the Straits of Mackinac, there's a lot of environmental concern now. Now, like I say, Enbridge says they've been running these pipelines for 60 years and have never had any problems, and they stay right on top of them, that they realize better than anybody what an environmental disaster there would be if something happened there.
Well, they paid that $3.7 million penalty for the break that happened in Marshall.
That's right, the largest yep. penalty ever recorded against the pipeline company.
But as you noted in your piece today, the Obama administration's top regulator noted there's no requirement in that safety law that was passed right after the spill in Marshall that the operators verify their documentation regarding pressure on the lines, even though it includes the requirement for gas pipelines. That just doesn't quite seem to make sense.
Right, and this is something that's a little confusing that really does need to get sorted out. That law that was passed after the Marshall spill mm-hmm. actually required operators of natural gas pipelines to verify and document the maximum allowable operating pressures on their pipelines.
Right.
But it did not do the same for hazardous liquids. Now, PHMSA, the Pipeline Hazardous Materials Safety Administration, which oversees this stuff, tells me they have other statutes in place that sort of regulate those liquids pipelines. But they couldn't tell me specifically why there would have been a difference in asking for this from gas pipelines and not asking from it for oil pipelines, especially considering that we had just had the Marshall spill.
Yes, so it sounds like a question that needs to be asked, and it certainly seems like we've got our senators on it and asking those questions. Any reaction so far from Senators Levin or Stabenow to the letter they got from the Obama administration?
Yes, Senator Stabenow's office got in touch with me late last night. It didn't make the newspaper, but it was in our web story. And what they were saying at the time was that they're grateful for the letter. They're glad that that the administrator got back to them as quickly as she did, but that there needs to be a real effort here to get these test results, the information on the leak detection, and the questions that are being raised about what's in that law and not, sort of addressed as quickly as possible, because they're already pumping, 2 million more gallons a day through that pipeline, and the senators want to make sure it's safe.
Detroit Free Press Washington reporter Todd Spangler, as always a pleasure. Thanks so much, Todd.
Thank you.